Hello, and welcome to the Gameslave Podcast, episode 113. I'm Proteus.
I'm Assimilator.
And I'm Zelda Queen.
And this week, one of us went to E3.
Woo!
Not this one.
Or this one.
Nope, it was just me. Myself and Irish Pride went to E3 this past day. He's supposed to be writing me an Assassin's Creed 3 article. I'll see how far that actually gets. But, had a lot of fun. We didn't see as much stuff as we saw the past few years when we were there. But at the same time, I didn't feel completely wiped out when I got done with the convention this year, so it might have actually been a little healthier for me. Wasn't much fun having the King's Games going on right across the street for the Stanley Cup, because that meant there was like three times the people there.
At least it wasn't a riot this time.
That's because they lost.
Yeah, because if they had won, it would have been, you know, sweet Game 4 thing, and that would have just been ugly. But at least this year, you were only three blocks away, so...
Yeah, we walked everywhere. We didn't take the shuttle, even though our hotel did have the shuttle service. Yes, it had the shuttle service.
Is this for, like, Gabe Newell exclusively?
No, they gave us the bands and everything when we checked in for the E3 shuttle service.
So the Gabe Newell shuttle.
We walked everywhere. My feet felt like I was walking on top of bruises or something by the end of the week, because we got there early Monday, and we did nothing but walk around, you know, the 5 to 6 block radius of our hotel, because we had nothing else to do on Monday. Then we walked around the convention center all day, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and walked to the concert, and then I walked around all day on Friday, until our plane left. But yeah, you guys don't care about me walking, you care about the games! So, I guess I'll kind of jump into that. One of the games that I've actually already pre-ordered that I had completely forgotten about until E3 was Quantum Conundrum. And what this is a puzzle-solving game that's available on Steam the 21st of June, and later this summer on XBLA and the PSN, where you solve puzzles using 4 different dimensions that you can switch to at any time using your controller or mouse and keyboard, whatever setup you have going. And there were 4 dimensions. There's the fluffy dimension, the heavy dimension, the slow dimension, and the reverse gravity dimension. The only one I'll actually explain is fluffy. Is it makes everything really soft and light, so you can pick up heavy items like safes. If I need to explain the other 3 dimensions to you, you need help.
Yeah, you described that to me when we were talking the other day, and that sounded like a lot of fun.
That's the one game my bro recommended to me for E3.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like it's going to be a really good game. I'm really looking forward to it. If you pre-order it now on Steam, you can get it for 10% off, and you can also pre-order the Season Pass, which will get you some items in Team Fortress 2.
Don't care.
The soundtrack, and 2 future DLC packs.
Start all the way over now with Plants vs. Zombies again.
This is what, the 3rd time you've had to do that?
Yeah.
Did you ever set it up for Steam Cloud?
I don't know.
Save?
I hope so.
I think you did, because when you were exiting, it was, you know, syncing to Steam. It would say that sometimes.
I hope I saved to the cloud.
Anywho, so,
I just hope that I save my, well, I guess it's not that big of a deal. I didn't play that much of it, but, my, Skyrim file.
Hey, you can start that over. It's no problem. It's only a few hour game.
Well, I only put in a few hours, so yeah.
But yeah, so Quantum Conundrum looks like a real good game. I'm looking forward to playing the full thing when it comes out. Then the other Square Enix game that we actually got to see was, we got to see a preview of Hitman Absolution.
Yeah, I forgot that's because they bought out Eidos.
And that looked really good, too. I hadn't played any of the Hitman series, but Irish Pride had, so I was able to glean one of the major changes from him was they added something kind of like an assassin vision, where you can see where people are in the buildings. It allows you to identify your target either, and it gives you an idea of where people are walking for you to avoid them when you need to. They also showed off the point system for doing your executions and how you get more points for doing a silent execution where you only kill your target. But it doesn't mean that you don't always, you know, avoid that. Like, you also get points for environmental kills. Or there was one time where
Is this like where you, you know, make the boiler in the building explode or something? And
well, in this case, he choked a guy, so he passed out. threw him off from the second story to the first story, right next to a gas station's tanks, and then threw a chunk of C4 over there and blew it up. And that not only killed him, but it created a nice distraction, which pulled all the cops away from another section where he needed to go.
Okay.
The game looked really great. It actually looked like it was a lot of fun. So, again, looks like it'll be entertaining. You know, now that I think about it, this could be because I didn't play too many games this year. I saw more demos, but I didn't see a lot of bad games this year. Like, an example of a bad game, the very first year Irish Pride and I went, there was this Wii fighting game with, like, Olympic heroes, Olympian, past, like, a Greek and all that. And we're playing the control schemes, like, this game just sucks! It made it to market, and the game sucked! let's see. With Wargaming.net, they did World of Tanks last year, and they're still doing their free World of their free-to-play World of Tanks MMO. And they've also now released World of War Planes. So now you can, you know, take the fight to the air! And currently in, I think, their alpha state, they have World of War Ships. So eventually you'll have tanks, planes, and ships. Then let's see, what else?
Not planes, trains, and automobiles. A movie with John Candy.
Then let's see. We also got an opportunity to interview the creators of Young Justice for the game coming out called Young Justice Legacy, I believe it was. Where, if anybody of you actually watch the Young Justice cartoon series, you'll know that between Season 1 and Season 2, there was a five-year gap between the two. And in that gap, a lot of things changed. For example, in Season 1, Miss Martian and Superboy were dating, and they were broken up in Season 2. They added some new members of the Young Justice team, and some had quit. So what's supposed to happen is this game takes place during a big event that happened in that 5-year span, and it's going to explain why some of the heroes changed. And like what happened to so-and-so, why so-and-so became evil, and so on and so forth. So that looked interesting, and I really enjoyed the interview with the creators. They said that they actually really, when they were approached to create the video game, they're like, perfect, we actually have the perfect spot to do this video game, because they had intended on leaving the five-year gap regardless, and this actually happened to work perfect so they could explain the 5-year gap and make it complete canon in the series. Unfortunately, the game right now is in a pre-alpha state, it seemed like. It was pretty jerky and hard to control, and the jump button didn't even work yet. So
I mean, what sort of game is it? Like, kind of like the side-scroller brawling kind of thing, or what?
Did you ever play Marvel Ultimate Alliance?
Yes. Is there the top over-down view, sort of?
Yeah, and you select, you know, in this case, you consist your team of 3 heroes that you choose, and there's a total of 12 to choose from in the game. So, okay. And then you basically switch between them, you have a power bar for using your special powers, and it's basically a brawler after that.
Yeah. Okay. So it's the, I don't know, 2.5D brawler, I guess.
Yeah, I guess that's the way you could put it. It had some puzzle solving, and some of the puzzles were a little annoying, because you had, at least the ones that I did, because you had to push this column in order to make these bridges move, and I was doing it right, but the problem was I was on the wrong side of the column, but there's no visual identifier to tell you which side you're actually supposed to be on. So, I mean, it's not a big inconvenience, but it'd be kind of nice if there was something that, you know, hinted to what side you were supposed to be on. Like maybe a line in the ground that shows where it's supposed to slide. But it's early still, so they have a lot of work to the games, and there's no real release date yet. And it hasn't even been works for a year. Games anymore seem to be works in, you know, year, 2 years before they're ever released. So, I'm just hoping that we see more from that and it turns out being pretty good. For those of you with kids, they introduced Skylanders Giants, which basically they added some new Skylanders, including some ones which are, well, bigger than the other ones, both on the screen and the actual model that you buy in order to use it.
Oh, that game.
That game.
The Spyro game.
Yes.
Okay.
My cousins were playing that at Christmas, remember?
Yes.
And one of the neat things they added with these little models was just to give you a little more oomph. They have little gems that glow as you get them closer to the station. And the way she was showing it, it's like she would pick it up, and then she would put it down, and the gem slowly glowed as she got to it, and then, you know, it fully lit up when it landed. But it's not like, you know, it was completely dark and then all lit up. It actually did depend on its range from the base.
Yeah, the dimmer.
So, that was interesting. One of my buddies actually was a little irritated. He's like, 40 more? Come on, I just got 39 of the existing 40. He actually does have, like, all of them, almost. So now he has to collect more. I laughed at that. Now, let's see.
I'm laughing because it's a grown man collecting Skylanders.
Well, he bought it for his niece. And then geeks are obsessive collectors. Let's admit this right now. Most geeks are obsessive collectors. Let's take Rampage, for instance. Once he starts on something, he just kind of goes.
It's all or nothing, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Then I saw a preview for XCOM Unknown Enemy, or Enemy Unknown. It's one of those two. I forget the way the words were. But it's the basic, for those that don't know, it's turn-based strategy where aliens have invaded the world and it's up to your team to basically stop them. When the game starts, you're screwed because you don't know anything and they're kicking your butt. As it goes on, you start to develop their tactics and weaponry to fight against them, and it actually works pretty well. In the demo, the guy with the psychic powers was also mapped, his skin was mapped to look like Sid Meier's. He created the Civilization series.
Yeah. I was just confused. I was like, wait, like, looked like Civ? Oh no, he looked like the actual guy.
Yeah.
Whoa!
Which is very appropriate since Sid Meier, since the guys behind Civilization are responsible for XCOM. See, unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to play Borderlands 2 or see anything of Dead Space 3, but I did get to see things on Crysis 3. It's very pretty. It successfully remains at being extremely pretty. Actually, the water effects in the game were done really, really well, which water I always think is really hard to do in a game.
Because it's so malleable. It's like watching old school B action flicks like Jason and the Argonauts, the old one. And when they do, like, the wave crashing, it's basically in a tub, and water doesn't scale, so you can just tell. That's like, this doesn't look right.
Yeah, it's like, that's a toy in a tub.
So, yeah.
What kind of ungodly rig do you have to run Crysis 3?
They didn't say that. If it's anything like Crysis 2, you'll be able to run it with a lower rig, you just won't have it at the great graphics. But it was kind of neat showing showing the different arrows you get with your de facto weapon, which is a compound bow now. So they're showing, you know, a regular arrow, a scattershot arrow, an explosive arrow, and then an electric arrow. Then they also showed him using the alien weaponry, which, unfortunately, I haven't played Crysis, so I didn't know this. But it is something new in the game. You actually be able to take the alien's weaponry and use it. I did notice in the corner that the suit you're wearing was constantly complaining about unsupported hardware detected, but it still lets you use it. Then he went into a dam, destroyed the generator in it in order to cut the group's there's power, then he blew up the dam. You think he would have just done that in the first place and saved him the trip in? I mean, really, if you're going to blow up the dam...
Might as well just start doing that instead of going in and cutting out all the power.
Exactly. And then let's see. Nintendo had the Wii U in full force.
Woo!
I played two games. There was P100, I think it was, which uses a mix of the Wii Pad in order to do special moves and collect additional civilians to become your little hero troop. Yeah, you basically have a bunch of little people following you that become superheroes with you. And then you actually play it on the big screen. It was kind of a top-down three-quarter view, and it was very much kind of, you know, like a beat-em-up. Had a lot of fun. And then I played Nintendo Land, Nintendo's tech demo software to show what the software can actually do to people right after they buy it. They were showcased, I played five of the games that they had showcased there, which I think that was all because I completed my little pin card. They had pins again.
Yeah.
And they had a card to go on it, so you knew if you collected them all. So I played, there was Luigi's Mansion 1, where it was 5 people, 4 people with Wiimotes, and then 1 person on the pad. The people with the Wiimotes were ghost hunters with flashlights. The person with the pad was the ghost. You can't see the ghost on the screen, but you can see him on the pad, so they don't know where the ghost really is. So it's his job to stun them all by grabbing them. It's their job to run out his health bar with the flashlights. And then if the ghost does stun their friends, they can recharge their friend's health with a flashlight, but that leaves them open to being attacked by the ghost. And the only way to know when the ghost is coming is your Wiimote starts shaking. So it's very much of a team game. You have to talk to each other in order to actually get it done well. Then there was a kind of a Donkey Kong game where you had this little cart with this bubble on it connected with springs, and you had to tilt the Wii pad to go through this maze, basically, without popping your bubble. I sucked at it. Irish Pride was much better. Then there was a Legend of Zelda-based game where that one was 3 players. You had 2 people with swords and 1 with a bow that used the Wii pad. Wii pad kind of, I think, was used for aiming, and then the other one, people just kind of slashed, and it was very on rails. If you can't tell, these are all party games that I'm running off here. Then there was another single player one, which, if anybody remembers the tech demos from last year, they showed you throwing the shurikens at targets. Well, they basically did that same thing, only now you're throwing them at other little ninjas, and you get points, you get consecutive, bonus points for hitting targets in a row, so that's how you get higher scores. Which Irish Pride had the high score for like 3 minutes, and then I beat it. I found that entertaining. But it was kind of a fun way to do it, and basically you aimed by pointing the Wiimote somewhere, or the Wii pad somewhere, and then you swept your finger across in order to actually fire your shuriken. Then the last one was a Animal Crossing game, Candy something or other, where basically, again, it was a 5-person game. You had 4 animals, and then a person with the pad played 2 guards. One controls to control the other guard. And basically, the animals have to collectively collect 50 pieces of candy before the guard tackles them 3 times collectively. What makes it difficult is as the animals grab candy, their heads get bigger and they get slower. So you have to, like, get the candy to one spot so you can actually collect it all later without getting caught. Out of 5 plays, the animals only won once when I did it. Because basically when I went, they had people's like, okay, here is, you have the Wii Pad, you have the, Wii Pad. Then 4 people then they kept trading out. And I kept trying to do pincher maneuvers when I had it. It's like, okay, run around, get on both sides! Damn it. See, then I played Assassin's Creed 3, or I didn't play Assassin's Creed 3. I got to see a video of Assassin's Creed 3, which it looks a lot of fun. They have Connor running through the trees. It's actually pretty natural looking the way he's doing it. And he can now wield 2 weapons, and he can run, grab a weapon without stopping, kill somebody, and keep running. So they've made the combat very fluid for him now. And they also showed a scene where he killed a deer and he got attacked by a band of wolves, by a pack of wolves. Which makes sense because he's in the forest now, he's not in a city. Then they moved him actually into the city of Boston and showed that now when you're trying to run from guards, if there's an open window, you can actually go through the window, run through the building, and run out. Which is a first for the Assassin's Creed series. Buildings are no longer just big blocks, they're actually
buildings?
Things in them! Yeah, and the game looks a lot of fun. They also showcased a little bit of the ship-to-ship combat, because apparently you'll be able to do battle at sea. Basically, you'll have everybody load up the cannons. Fire! Looks like a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to the game coming out. I think it's October 30th.
Oh, Halloween time.
There's a lot of games coming out on October 30th, honestly.
Well, it's, 2 months beginning before Christmas.
Beginning of the holidays.
Still, can you guys spread it out like 2 or 3 weeks, maybe? I unfortunately did not get a chance to check out any of THQ's titles, actually, because they didn't have an actual presence on the floor. It was all meeting room. So I didn't get to see Darksiders 2, Metro Last Light, or South Park, The Quest for the Stick of Truth. No, it was just The Stick of Truth. The epic quest to become cool. And let's see. Honestly, I didn't do much with Sony or Microsoft, because, I don't know, I go to other booths to really see that stuff.
I mean, well, what did Microsoft really have other than Halo 4?
They had Forza. It takes place in Colorado this year, in this game. Aha!
Yay!
I don't know, they also had, they actually had Fable Journey playable on the floor. I still don't know how the hell it's not on Rails. I know they've said that, but I don't believe them yet. And then they had a Marvel Avengers Connect fighting game. And then they had a game that looked very much like Boom Blocks, only instead of throwing stuff with overhand like, you know, would give you tennis elbow or something, you clap your hands together in front of you like a triangle, and then pull back in order to release a slingshot, and then you kind of direct where the ball's going in flight with the Kinect. And some different balls have different abilities, so you would activate those abilities in air.
Sorry, I'm just picturing all the, you know, people playing, going, you know, like, in their living room, like... Sorry, this is radio. I don't know how to... Yeah,
yeah, that doesn't work well in radio. Let's think like
the sorcerer in, Conan the Destroyer.
Anywho, Sony had their Sony All-Stars game where they introduced two new characters. They introduced Nathan Drake and Big Daddy to the roster.
I still find that game really weird.
They also had The Last of Us, which I didn't see on the show floor, so it must have been, maybe it was an appointment only thing. But at first watching it, I thought it was an Uncharted sequel.
Well, most people, wrong. I saw posting on the web, was all like, Uncharted sequel, wait a minute, no it's not. This is weird.
Basically, it looks like it's just after some big apocalyptic event happened and most of the cities have been destroyed. So we have our main character, unnamed dude that needs to shave.
Yes, the action hero.
Yes, and great little girl that is not completely helpless. So they go into this, what was formerly some sort of 5-star hotel, are trying to sneak around and end up getting seen by these, I don't know, bandits, I guess you want to call them. He takes one down, grabs his gun, which only has like 3 bullets in it. So apparently ammo is actually going to be a commodity in this game, if I base on what I saw here. Because he shoots them all, and then he's like, he's got 3 people shooting at him. He has no ammo. So he has to actually, you know, get around and rush them in order to attack them. He finally gets a shotgun, and then near the end of the demo, this one guy gets knocked down, and the dude kills him execution style with a shotgun. That's kind of what I thought, whoa, this doesn't seem like Nathan Drake, and then they did the Last of Us screenshot.
See, that's not very good if your game's getting confused with another game. Its style is not distinct enough.
Well, the thing is, it's done by the same studio that does the Uncharted series.
See, this is really bad then. They're copying literally what they already have.
Yep. But it could be good, could be bad. I won't be able to tell until I actually see they do more, announce more with it. Let's see. Do I have anything else to yammer on about? Perfect World is doing a Neverwinter setting for D&D. I asked them what the rule set it's based on, and they said, well, it was starting to be based on rule set 4, and then they started to switch to rule set 5, and after so many game balance changes, Wizards just gave them the okay just to make the game playable and not worry about a D&D rule set. So you'll recognize stuff from rule set 4, but it doesn't necessarily follow all the D&D rules out there. Which, actually, for a video game, I could see that being a good thing, because the rules are made for us to not only use, but to change as we see fit in a game. Video games don't have that...
flexibility.
Yeah, they don't have that... They're not fortunate enough to be able to do that. What they have written is what they must follow. So, just making it balanced in the game for an MMO, for a free-to-play MMO, I see it being a much better idea. And then I saw the demo for PlanetSide 2. PlanetSide came out a long time ago. It was, you know, you had to pay to play it at the time. Well, now all of Sony Online Entertainment's properties are free to play. So while the beta hasn't even started for PlanetSide 2 yet, this is going to be a free-to-play game. You have one of three different groups to play as, and they have a massive planet for you to actually play on. I think this is the area that they had in the demo was 2 kilometers, and they said that that's maybe a percentage of the gameplay of the actual game playable area. And they had several different classes, different vehicles you could use, and it was completely customizable on how your character looked. The guy giving the presentation thought he was being punked by the game testers because they had Zebra Squad. But the game looks good. I'm actually looking forward to getting to the beta to try it out to give it a more hands-on feel. That, I think, is everything that I can... Oh, last one. I can't believe I forget this one. This one keeps slipping my mind, too. Star Trek! It's basically been built from the ground up to be co-op based. You can do single player, but they've intended it for, you know, Kirk and Scott and Spock go out together on missions, despite the fact that he really should be sending away teams instead of the captain going down.
Yeah.
Spock.
But Kirk always went on away missions, like 90% of the time.
So did Spock. Except when Spock was the away mission.
Yeah. Well, in Kirk's defense, he got his career by ignoring the rules in the first place.
Yeah.
So, Spock plays as kind of obviously the more scientific one. He can, say you're fighting a boss enemy or something, he can take it readings with his tricorder in order to find a weak spot, which will then glow red for Kirk to shoot at. Kirk seems to do a little more damage and be able to take a little more punishment than Spock does. And they got the same voice actors to do it that did from the movie.
Oh, the movie one. Okay.
Yeah, this is based on the new movie property from J.J. Abrams. So it looks really good, and in the demo we saw, they were actually beaming down to New Vulcan. Because, for those of you that don't remember, Vulcan go boom. Actually, I guess it went...
Yeah, it's the same.
It was the opposite of boom.
It was still a pretty impressive. Pretty impressive way to take down the planet and create a black hole in the center of it. But, and when they get there, they find, you know, Vulcans either going insane from a toxin, from an unknown toxin, or already dead. After a few minutes, they get attacked by a giant green lizard thing. The Gorn are back!
Gorn.
So they had about 5 different types of Gorn, ranging between small, fast guys with guns, and really big bruisers that just charged them. The way demo ended was pretty cool. It's like Scotty's like, can you take step 15 feet forward? Can't do that, Scotty, because there's, you know, a bunch of Gorn directly in front of them. Okay, 15 feet backward. Well, they just ran from a bunch of Gorn, so they can't do that either. It's like, well, I can't beam you up. There's too much interference with where you are right now. So Kirk just had them fire, painted a target and had them fire a torpedo in front of at the ones in front of them. The game looked like a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to see more of that from Namco Bandai. They also had a game, I can't remember the name of it right now, so I'll have to get back to you on it was, but all the art assets and everything were done by Studio Ghibli. So looks like you're playing a Studio Ghibli movie.
I heard this one, but I can't remember what it's called.
And it's a JRPG movie. Video game. So that looked actually really, what I saw from it, it looked entertaining. It kind of had a little bit of a Pokemon feel to it, because you basically send these creatures to attack for you, and as the gameplay progresses, you can have them, you can start capturing more and more of the enemies that you attacked in order to have them help you. There was fighting games, there was a new Dead or Alive game, there was a new Tekken Tag Tournament game, there was a new Castlevania game, Harvest Moon for the 3DS, and there was also Metal Gear Solid Revengeance. Who the heck named that game?
Revengeance. That's a terrible name.
Revengeance. Because we decided to make it before.
Oh, there it is.
Ni no Kuni, Wrath of the White Witch is the name of the Studio Ghibli video game. See? Looks exactly like one of their movies.
Yeah. It's a guy who has a lantern attached to his nose.
So, I think I'm going to stop there because I'm going to start rambling soon if I keep going on like this.
Start.
Well, it's going to be pointless rambling then. That's the problem. There weren't as many big over-the-top things I saw this year. I mean, I think that was mainly because THQ used to do those, and they're kind of broke.
Poor THQ.
I'm hoping their
Nintendo's the only one still kind of with the new console that they're talking about. Sony and Microsoft are still... I mean, Sony's just came out a couple of... Well...
6 years ago.
No.
5 years ago, then.
Because the Wii came out in 2006, like late 2006.
Okay. The PS3 came out the week before the Wii.
Was it?
Yes.
I thought it came out after the Wii.
Yeah, I thought it came a year out.
It came out the same year as the Wii. The 360 came out the year before those two, and those two came out the same November.
Okay.
Okay.
But Sony said that the PS3 is going to have a 10-year lifespan minimum.
Well, it's a pretty powerful piece of software, so...
Hardware.
The PS3 is also the only one that didn't seem to be touting as many entertainment features in their press conference, because both the Wii and the Xbox were touting, like, sports features for getting your sports scores and such, or, you know, like Netflix, Hulu, all that, just, you know, actual stuff to make it an entertainment system instead of a video game system.
I really did like having Netflix on my Wii. I don't know, I find it much easier to navigate than using my DVD player.
Let's see.
Oh, I did see, I can't remember if it was from you or something else on E3 coverage I was looking at, but the PS3, what is their little funny motion?
PS Move?
Yes, the only thing I'll ever sell that is that Harry Potter game.
Book? Oh, God. That Harry Potter book seemed like it was like half of their freaking press conference, too. They spent forever just on that one game.
Well, it's a pretty big deal, because I think Rowling's actually doing a lot of, like, work for them to, you know.
Mm-hmm. That is correct. She is doing a lot for it. It just seemed like they spent a lot of time in their press conference for one game.
We don't have much else to talk about, apparently, so we're going to plug that really hard.
Well, there's nothing else that's selling the Move. I mean, honestly, who wants the Move?
I mean, it's like, basically, if people wanted a Wii, they'd have bought a Wii.
Yeah, if they want innovative motion control, they buy an Xbox. And a Kinect. They don't buy a camera and a glowing lollipop. Come on, that's what the thing is. It's a glowing lollipop.
No, it's... Yeah.
The only good use I've ever seen for it is when they put the glowing lollipop in a gun accessory. And then it's a gun. It's at least then it looks like a ray gun because it's got a glowing ball at the end. So congratulations, you're being innovative, is you're making a ray gun from 1970.
1950.
Anywho, yeah, I had a lot of fun this year. We started doing some we've done some individual articles of the games, and that's about all I have for now. Do you guys have anything you want to add before we wrap this up?
No, not really.
Nope, she wants tacos. So we're going to go ahead and wrap this up here. Go ahead and visit us at thegameslave.com where you can see our articles. You can also find our Twitter and Facebook pages along with our store.
Thank you for buying stuff.
Yes, thank you guys who are buying the Ninja shirts because that's the only thing that seems to really sell. But hey, we'll take it. We love it. You're spreading the Ninja. If you have questions, comments, concerns, rants, whatever, you can mail those to mail@thegameslave.com. And in the meantime, game on.
Game on.
Game on.